from the NBC Theater in Hollywood, The Romantic Comedian, a full-hour drama based on the novel by Ellen Glasgow. We bring you a family portrait of the South, not including the swooning belle, the irascible colonel, and the faithful colored retainer. Rather, a more accurate portrait of Virginians with ironic overtones in the best Ellen Glasgow manner. The Romantic Comedian, as adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy of NBC. At intermission, we will bring you a transcribed commentary on the writings of Ellen Glasgow by the noted critic and commentator Henry Alpin. Herewith, The Romantic Comedian by Ellen Glasgow.
Down here in Queensboro, that's Tidewater, Virginia, of course, we've enjoyed for many years the advantage of ideas formed in the late 1880s and sidewalks put down in this present year, 1926. This arrangement protects the citizens from both the dust of antique roads and the high winds of modern ideas. We're satisfied down here. Yes, you might say that's the ruling emotion in Queensboro. Satisfaction. Take today, for instance, Easter Sunday. In that white house on Washington Street, Mrs. Edmonia Brettlebane, that's old Judge Honeywell's twin sister, has just finished off a bottle of her brother's pre-war Bumgardner.
Constable! Constable! Come, break out another bottle. It's too early in the afternoon to run dry.
While up the street, under those two towering elms, Miss Amanda Lightfoot stops to talk to a neighbor. Miss Amanda is generally considered a beauty. She has been since 1895, when she broke off her engagement to Judge Honeywell.
Why, Mrs. Littlepage, Judge Honeywell and I have been merely good friends for years. I wouldn't dream of intruding on his grief. Why, when I was a girl, it was considered proper for a widower to mourn for years. For years.
And down on Chestnut Street, Mrs. Bella Upchurch sniffs the frying onions and boiling cabbage that'll presently disappear down the maw of her five lodgers. Mrs. Upchurch approves of neither the onions, the cabbage, or the lodgers. And she most often vents her spleen on her daughter.
Now, you look here, Annabel. It's no use you crying after that Angus Blunt. He's left you, and he's in Paris, France. And you know what that means.
But, Mama...
And if you ever want to get out of this swamp of onions and lodges, you'll have to take hold on yourself. You hear, Annabel?
And all this time, way out on Jackson Road, the sky shines a shimmering April blue, and fresh young leaves come sprinkling down over the gnarled old trees along the neat garden paths of the Queensboro Cemetery. It's spring, and there stands Judge Gamaliel Honeywell, hovering over his late wife's grave and trying to concentrate on his mourning.
Cordelia. Cordelia. I'm like a bird with a broken wing. A broken wing. That's the way I ought to feel. It's my duty. Yet I can't even remember what she looked like. By heaven, I lived with her for 36 years. Spring. Yeah, that's it. It's spring. Surprising what it'll do to a year at 65. A young 65, mind you. odd, though. I can't even remember what she looked like. Cordelia. A bird with a broken wing.
Judge Honeywell deposits his armful of lilies on the grave, like a brief, on his judicial bench, and turns for home.
Why, Judge Honeywell, how nice to see you. Annabelle and I were just chatting with your sister.
Been to the cemetery, Gamaliel?
I have. It's a pleasure, ma'am. And Annabelle, I was just thinking I must send the child a present for Easter.
Why, thank you, Judge Honeywell.
Annabelle was just telling Edmonia that she hopes that you'll come to the party.
Mama.
Oh, what party?
Oh, the one Cousin Amanda Lightfoot is giving. Tuesday is Annabelle's birthday. She'll be 23.
23. Well. Oh, I'm afraid I'd be a killjoy at a party, Annabelle.
Now, Judge, I'm sure poor dear Cousin Cordelia would wish you to keep your spirits up. And it would please Annabelle so. She was saying only this morning...
But, Mama, I only said...
Hush, Annabelle.
Well, it was about a new dress.
Oh, why shouldn't you have a new dress, Annabelle? Why, I'll see to it myself. Your Cousin Cordelia never forgot birthdays.
Good. Make it an expensive one, child. Take everything that's offered when you're young. And there's no use for the judge to shut himself up and mourn like a widow. Nobody expects it of him.
Why? We all sympathize with the dear judge's feelings.
Oh, I'm afraid I've let my own trouble overwhelm me. It's my duty to think of Cordelia's relatives. My duty...
Amalia, are you asleep in that chair?
No, just thinking, Edmonia.
Oh, at our age, Gamaliel, it's a mistake to sit down and brood over the past.
Age nonsense. I consider I'm still in the prime of life. You must remember that a man remains younger than a woman of the same age.
I wonder what old goat first invented that theory. Why, I preserve my youth much better than you. You know, I've been wondering what made your hair so white.
And I what made yours so brown. But I wasn't speaking of artificial aids, of which I disapprove.
Oh.
There's no artificiality in real youth. Take Annabelle.
Oh, yeah, she's gotten rid of her unhappy love affair by talking about it. She tells everybody. Well, I suppose that's one way.
Think of that blackguard trifling with the affections of an innocent life.
Well, I'd hardly call Annabelle innocent. I'm sure Annabelle knows more today than I ever dreamed of when I was young.
But then you had an exceptional youth, dear sister.
Gamaliel, tell me, is the mint in that window box tall enough for juleps?
It is not.
Well, anyway, you are going to that party.
Yeah, I may drop in for a short while.
Of course. And you'll dance with Amanda Lightfoot.
Amanda...
Considering she's waited 37 years for you, that's not much to expect.
I don't understand what you mean by waiting.
Why, Gamaliel, you know she stayed single on your account.
I shall remain faithful to Cordelia as long as I live.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Oh, the trouble with women who never marry is that they don't realize how little there is to it till you've tried it at least twice. I remember, during my third honeymoon...
Edmonia, I can't help wishing you might grow mature with a little dignity. I consider your remarks virgin on the vulgar.
No. Folks don't approve of me here. But I've had my moments, Gamaliel. I've had my fun.
Judge Honeywell.
Why, Mrs. Upchurch, a pleasure, ma'am.
I wanted to thank you for Annabelle's dress. It's just lovely. Oh, I don't know what a poor widow like me would do if it hadn't been for Cousin Cordelia and And you...
Oh, there now, ma'am.
You know, Judge, just today, Annabelle was saying she wished she could do something to help folks restore their old-fashioned gardens.
Gardens?
Well, we thought if she could keep us out of a little shop, it would help her forget that unhappy love affair.
A shop, eh? For gardens?
A small place. Very small. Where she could take orders for garden designs. Oh, Judge Honeywell, if you knew how that child respects and admires you.
Cordelia was very fond of her.
Oh, she's such a brave little thing. And she does need help after her trying experience.
I trust she's not wasting sentiment on that... well, the word is out of fashion, but on that cat.
Oh, she never thinks of him, I'm sure. But an experience like that ages a girl. Saddens her, you know.
Yes. Well, she's a courageous child, deserves help.
I knew you'd say that, Judge Honeywell. You know, I suppose I shouldn't tell, but Annabelle told me. Mama, Judge Honeywell is the only man I believe in.
That dear little thing. But at her age, hurts are not mortal.
I tell her that, but... Oh, well, we'll expect you at the birthday party then.
Oh, I'll be there. Tell her I'll be there, even if I have to take dancing lessons.
You asleep again, Camallo?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost time to leave for Cousin Amanda's.
Yeah. Oh, Edmonia.
You better be getting dressed.
Edmonia, perhaps I'd better go to Dr. Buchanan for a checkup. It might be prudent.
Well, what's wrong? Gout or dyspepsia?
I'm not sure. I've been having the most disturbing dreams. Why, just now, would you mind pouring me a thimbleful from that decanter, Edmonia, the Baumgartner?
Been dreaming? Camallo, you've got to get out of the house more often. Dreaming.
Oh, Edmonia, your tone. Yeah, I suppose you're right. I've been brooding too long since poor Cordelia. Well, at any rate, tonight we go to Amanda's party. I've been rather looking forward to it.
Oh, Gamalia, there isn't a girl here who can hold a candle to Amanda Lightfoot. 58 or no?
Yeah, quite so.
Now go on over, Gamalia. You must lead the first march with Amanda.
I wish you wouldn't push so, Edmonia. It's not dignified.
But it gets things done. Now go on.
I suppose I must.
Why, John Honeywell, I'm so glad you could come.
It's delightful to be with you, Amanda.
It is a pleasure to watch young people. Young girls are so lovely.
There isn't one among them that could hold a candle to what you were at that age.
I'm glad you remember me like that.
That's the only way I could remember you, as young. Why, I feel as young as I ever felt.
Camallo, I've wanted to speak to you for some time now. You see, ever...
Honeywell, there you are. I've been looking all over for you. I might have known Cousin Amanda would steal you away.
Mrs. Upchurch, you're blooming, ma'am. Blooming.
Oh, but you must promise to dance with Annabelle Judge. Annabelle's just been pining until you got here. Here she is now.
Oh, Annabelle, it's charming.
Go ahead, Annabelle. Dance with the judge. He just asked you.
Huh? Oh, certainly. The honor, ma'am.
Why, surely, Judge Honeywell.
You know, these modern rhythms are a little difficult for older folk.
Nonsense, Judge. You're doing fine. Judge Honeywell, you don't believe everything Mama tells you, do you? I mean about me.
Uh-huh.
You're somewhere else, Judge.
You're not here at all.
Well, the music, it is somewhat rapid, Annabelle. Suppose we sit over here instead.
Well, if you want to, Judge.
Let me help you.
Thank you.
There.
Judge Honeywell, why does Mother always make me ridiculous? Oh, you mustn't let her fool you about me.
I'm not easily hoodwinked, Annabelle. At my age...
All I really care for is beauty. Well, and perhaps joy. That's the only reason I miss Angus at all.
You mustn't think of him, dear.
Do you really think there's any joy left in the world anywhere?
While there's youth, Annabelle.
Oh, youth is sadder than age. I've missed joy, Judge Honeywell. I've missed it.
Now, we must find it for you, my dear. There, now. You must let me help you.
Why, I'm not looking for joy now. Oh, but if it isn't asking too much to have a little flower shop in its place.
What? Why, of course you shall have it. I'll make the arrangements in the morning.
Oh, Judge Honeywell.
Now, we must see what we can do. My poor little girl.
Been playing golf, Gamalia? You know you're looking better since you started getting out of the house. Why don't you call on Amanda?
I think, Monia, that at your time of life you might find something better to do than interfere with others' private affairs.
At our time of life, Gamalia, there isn't much else we can do. I've caught 4 husbands, and now I'm ready to sit back and enjoy other people's folly. All trouble with you, Gamalia, is that you don't have enough of a sense of humor to stand the strain of being a judge and an old Virginia gentleman combined.
Advice from you, Edmonia, is hardly...
It's no advice, Gamalia. It's a warning.
A warning?
We'd best remind each other, dear brother, that there's no fool like an old fool. An old fool, Gamalia.
I want to make something of my life, Judge Honeywell. I don't want to just fritter my time away.
Oh, that's a wise decision, child. And we must find a place for you. A house with a garden attached, where you can experiment with your design.
Well, I never dreamed that. Oh, it would be wonderful.
Well, I'm sure it can be arranged. That little house on Little Page Street,
you
perhaps.
You are an angel, Judge Honeywell. How can I ever repay you?
By being happy, Annabelle.
Oh, I'm happy. I'm perfectly happy.
Annabelle, you must fight against the tendency to look on the dark side. Cadelia used to say, well, anyway, you must be happy. It's a triumph of moral sense over imaginary trouble.
I haven't any moral sense. But I have a heart. Oh, Judge.
Now, Annabelle, here, try to control yourself, my child.
I'm trying.
Did I hurt you? Was it anything I said?
No, it wasn't you. But he belonged to me. Nobody else had the right to him.
You mean young Blount, that cat?
We were so in love. We quarrel constantly.
Oh, but, my dear...
And that's one of the nicest parts of being in love. Quarreling and making up afterwards. And then he went to France, and he was always writing about some French girl. And so I cabled him that I never wanted to see him again. So he married her. And he sent me word. Collect.
Now, there's no use my trying to help you, child, unless you put him out of your thoughts.
But I must look a perfect fright. Oh, you're so much kinder to me than I deserve, Judge Honeywell.
Well, I suppose I am. I try to help, Annabelle. What you want is peace.
Oh, no. No, there's time enough for that when I'm too old for anything else.
Child, do you mind my being so much older?
Oh, well, you're not old.
Well, you don't look old. And besides, I despise young men. Angus was a young man.
Annabelle, and you're not to talk about him. You must be brave, Annabelle. You know, I've wanted to help you for two reasons, Annabelle. One is that you need someone to protect you. The other...
I know what the other reason is.
You know?
Yes. Oh, it's because you're trying to do what you think Cousin Cordelia would have done.
Oh, well, of course, I can't forget that Cordelia was fond of you. But I'm fond of you, too.
Oh, you're an angel, Judge Honeywell. And I'm going to kiss you right now.
But is there anything actually wrong, Judge?
I can't exactly say, Doctor. I've just been unsettled. Uh-huh. Dreams, you know.
Dreams, huh? Mm-hmm. Been overdoing it a bit? Too much exercise?
Certainly not. As you know, I play golf in moderation. I was wondering if you'd advise me to change any of my habits.
Well, not unless they are bad habits. Bad habits, eh?
I meant smoking or drinking. I take a thimbleful of whiskey on occasion.
Well, so do I on every occasion.
Well, Doctor...
Well, there's only one thing, Gamaliel, moderation. Your blood pressure is better than a man of your age deserves. Now, come now, be frank. Is there anything else troubling you?
Why, no. Nothing worth bothering you with.
Well, then, don't be afraid to keep young. Trust in heaven and keep your diet light. Now, with religion and a light diet, you may live to be 100. Keep up your interests, Gamaliel. Don't let yourself grow old.
Don't grow old. I shan't hesitate any longer. After all, who knows but I may make her happier than a younger man could have done. I wonder what her mother will say.
But, Mama, he gives me such nice presents.
Annabelle, honey, only elderly men give such presents. Young ones don't have to.
Well, if only he wanted to marry you, it would be so much more suitable.
Sometimes I think all girls ought to marry, for love at least once. If only to find out how much it's been exaggerated. Annabelle, I'm afraid the judge is too much older.
Well, I don't suppose I should mind it too much.
Mind what?
Marrying him. I'd do almost anything not to have to worry about money. Do you suppose he'll pay all your bills?
Oh, you mustn't think of me, Doc.
The funny part is, well, I used to think he belonged to Cousin Amanda. Is there anything between them, Mama?
Well, that happened long ago, dear. They were engaged. She broke it off.
But why didn't Amanda marry someone else?
Well, things were difficult in those days, dear. Amanda was far too much of a lady to admit she'd been disappointed in love. But I suppose she preferred to remain faithful. She still wears lavender and blue because they used to be his favorite.
Oh, well, he likes red and green now, like my new dress. Oh, I wish he would fall back in love with her. It would be so romantic.
He wouldn't think so, dear. He won't ever turn back to Amanda. Remember, Judge Honeywell has a great deal of money. Some young girl will always be ready to marry him. Now, where are you going?
I'm going over to ask Cousin Amanda if she still cares for Judge Honeywell.
Oh, you can't.
Why not? Well, how can you expect people to know things if you won't tell them?
Why, even if she still cared, she'd pretend she didn't. Even in my day, and I'm ever so much younger than Cousin Amanda, self-control was still considered a virtue in women.
Well, I'm sorry, Mother, but I'm going now to ask Cousin Amanda. After all, it isn't my fault if you're all such liars.
love you to come.
Thank you, Cousin Amanda.
It's just dinner time for the little birdies. You don't mind if I go on?
Oh, no. No, I'm fond of birds.
They are, darlings.
Cousin Amanda, are you happy?
Why, yes, dear. I should be very ungrateful if I were not happy with all my blessings.
You never regret you didn't marry? Oh, I'm not just impertinent, Cousin Amanda. I've got to know.
Why, no, dear.
Then you weren't sorry you broke your engagement to Judge Honeywell?
Why, no, dear. I broke my engagement just before I sailed for Europe. I felt that I could not be separated from my dear mother and father as long as they lived. That was why I never married.
You wouldn't marry him now, would you?
The birds don't look well, I think. No, dear. At my time of life, one no longer thinks of marriage.
Oh, Cousin Amanda, please marry him.
Annabelle, are you out of your head? Such an idea has never so much as crossed my mind. Judge Honeywell and I are the best of friends. Indeed, I've always thought that it would be a mistake for a woman to marry late in life. I'm very happy with my young people and all the charities. I'm very happy, dear.
But, Cousin Amanda, I wish you would talk freely to me.
Oh, nice women don't talk about their private affairs, Annabelle.
But
when you're older, you'll know better. Nice women never, never ask each other such questions.
But, Cousin Amanda,
I... Goodbye, Charles. I think perhaps you'd better go now. Goodbye, Annabelle.
It's warm in here, isn't it, Annabelle? Annabelle?
Oh, why, yes, Judge. It's always hot here in summer. I don't think I can stand it again.
Oh, my dear little girl. If only you would let me take you away. If only you'd let me take you to beautiful places.
Would it be a long way off, where they don't eat fried liver?
Why, certainly, child. Dear...
It's funny.
What, Annabelle?
I was thinking about branches of trees. Dead trees.
You're adorable, Annabelle. First time in my life I know what it is to love without selfish desire. It's just your happiness I want, Annabelle. Annabelle...
What are you doing on the porch at this hour?
Oh, just knitting.
Knitting fiddlesticks. Gamaliel's in the parlor with Annabelle, isn't he?
Yes. And to be frank, Edmonia, we haven't had supper. Men never seem to realize that other people have hours.
Gamaliel spent 36 years carefully insulated from worries of that sort, thanks to dear Cordelia.
You know, if I'd spent my youth learning some useful occupation... I wouldn't worry about a great many things.
I'm sure I know just what you mean, Bella. I'd swap the last two of my four husbands for an honest trade. Why, Gamaliel? Too hot inside?
Edmonia, Mrs. Upchurch, a miracle has happened.
Yes?
Annabelle cares for me.
Oh?
And we're to be married. Married immediately.
And now, our intermission commentator, the noted critic, Mr. Henry Outland.
In Ellen Glasgow's extraordinary output, her romantic comedians hold a special place. Let us see why. Her large, devoted group of followers, the Glaswegians, regard her as the supreme imaginative interpreter of Virginian research essence. She grasps and presents with amazing vividness those changes in society... fortune and outlook, which, since Reconstruction days, have been gathering gear in the Old Dominion. Now, this novel of the early 1930s, The Romantic Comedians, shows her for once not painting a sweeping fresco of the modern Virginian drama. Instead, she is this time a miniaturist and a satirist. In her larger scale novels, she has always given free rein to irony. But here, in a tiny segment of life set in sleepy little Queensboro, near Richmond, she stresses what aspirations and acts of her chief friends regarding marriage she finds ridiculous. We have almost pure comedy in the traditional way, where the levels of local society are marked off, and any attempt to step outside one's orbit for an ill-advised union is matter for mockery. When it comes to the mating of June and December, this universal theme has been treated from Menander to Meredith, and the only figure in the Romantic Comedians who arouses our compassion is the victim, in this case, young Annabelle. Ellen Glasgow likes Annabelle because, as with so many of her heroines, she runs to meet life. Comedy, in a novel or on the stage, is apt to delight us in proportion as it has a high finish and much sparkling detail. That is what Ellen Glasgow, in this gay interlude amid her more serious themes, provides with her brilliant style. Her skill in telling a story, her wit, her felicity of phrase, have more scope here, as might be expected, than her wide range of human sympathy. For comedy is not always kind. Of Edmonia, the aging Gabriel's twin sister, the author observes that though she had little wisdom, she had had four husbands. Of the servant Altruza, she remarks that she had whisked away every reminder of the evening meal except its smell. On another occasion, it is noted that Cordelia, the old Gamaliel's former wife, and her friends had never used any perfume more encouraging to the lower nature of man than bay rum.
Thank you, Mr. Outland.
Had a wedding down in Queensboro. 65-year-old Judge Gamaliel Honeywell united in matrimony to 23-year-old Annabelle Upchurch. Of course, folks talked some, but nobody asked Miss Amanda Lightfoot what she thought. Nobody was quite heartless enough. Mrs. Upchurch moved out of the lodging house and spent the summer at White Sulphur Springs. Judge Honeywell footed the bill. While Annabelle and the judge sailed on the first boat for Europe.
Oh, it's lovely. It's so exciting. Come around the deck with me. You can hardly walk against the wind.
I know, dear. Perhaps I'd better stay here for a bit.
Oh? You mean just sit in that deck chair?
For a while. You run along, Annabelle. After all, we've had quite an exciting month.
Oh, it was. It was lovely. You're sure you won't come with me?
After all, I am a little older than you.
I suppose so. Well, remember, we're going to the dance tonight. We'll dance all night until the sun comes up again.
All night? Well, maybe. I do feel well. Not a day over 35. Not a day.
Beg your pardon, sir?
Hmm?
Judge Honeywell?
Yes, steward.
I found this book in the smoking room, sir. I believe it was left there by your daughter.
Well, what's the matter?
sir. You're not eating your dinner.
What did you say this sauce was called, Annabelle, dear?
Oh, I don't know. It was the longest name on the menu. Don't you just love to eat exciting things?
Well, dear, for a good many years, I've had to be careful.
Oh, that's no fun. It's only exciting if you haven't got the slightest idea of what you're eating. You know, I think I'll have frog legs in wine for breakfast tomorrow.
I think perhaps it might be best if I retired, dear.
Well, for heaven's sakes, why? It's not near midnight.
What is the name of that sauce? I must remember to avoid it.
What is it, Doctor? Tell me, is he dying?
Madame Honeywell, your husband, the judge, is suffering from dyspepsia, very acute.
Dyspepsia?
Oh, I haven't had an attack in 40 years.
Oh, but unless you are careful, monsieur, it will bury you. Poof.
Oh, but what must we do? Is there anything...
Madame, 3 days, no food. Then perhaps a soft-boiled egg and very weak tea.
Oh.
And then Vichy, the waters. He must be very careful of the digestion, madame. A man of his, please excuse me, age must be very careful.
We will be able to leave this pokey old town soon, won't we? Nothing but fountains and that horrid water and all those old people sitting around wrapped up in blankets.
Annabelle, are you disappointed? Are you unhappy with your marriage?
It wasn't as bad as I expected.
Annabelle, you have had a good time. You have no regrets.
Regrets? Well, what should I regret? It's been a lovely summer.
Yes, indeed. And now we must be thinking of returning home. I miss the old house, chairs, the dining room.
Oh, we'll have a nice time back home, I know. Bridge parties and dinners and we'll have dancing. Oh, it'll be so exciting, won't it?
Exciting? Yes, I suppose so, dear. It'll be extremely exciting.
Mama! Mama, I'm back! I'm back!
Oh, my dear child. Oh, come be careful. My spectacles.
Oh. We just got here an hour ago, and I had to wait until the judge finished his breakfast. Why do men so hate to breakfast alone?
I don't know, darling. Here, sit down here.
All right.
Oh, you look wonderful. Mm. I'm astonished at what marriage can do.
Oh, it isn't marriage, Mama. It's Paris, and having so much money. Oh, isn't it wonderful what clothes can do for you?
Then you are happy, dear.
Oh, I don't believe much in happiness. People just pretend because they're ashamed not to, that's all.
Why, baby.
Oh, I've got to run, Mama. I promised to be back to kiss him before he goes down to his office. Could anything be more absurd than to have to cross the street and run 2 whole blocks just to kiss a man before he goes to work? Well, goodbye, Mama. I'll be back.
Could anything be more absurd?
You dressed yet?
Dressed? Why?
Oh, don't tell me you've forgotten. The dance tonight, the cotillion.
Yes. Annabelle, it's extremely lucky the stay at Vichy allowed me to begin this winter with an improved digestion. Dined out every night this week.
Well, you don't want to just sit and stodge tonight.
Well, that was the general idea, although I would have put it differently.
But I have a new dress. And besides, you just sit along the wall at all the dances anyway. Don't you get tired?
Perhaps it would be better for you to go along without me.
But you're sure you don't mind?
Oh, no, dear. Anything that brings you happiness, that's all I want.
If that's all Baumgartner you're pouring, Gamaliel, you might set out another glass. Or better still, just pass me the bottle.
Now, that's the last of my pre-war stock, Edmonia. I do not approve of bootleggers.
It does have quality. I approve of your scruples about bootleggers.
Well, I may be old-fashioned, Edmonia, but in my day, ladies were not supposed to drink whiskey.
Your day was happily before Prohibition, my dear brother. When you didn't have to take anything for fear of losing everything. That reminds me, I never saw Annabelle looking so pretty. Your marriage has turned out better than I expected.
It has turned out happily. Why, it was all I could do to persuade Annabelle to go out tonight and leave me alone.
Oh? I wouldn't have believed it. Annabelle seems to me to be the kind of woman who would turn any man's head.
Well, as long as she's satisfied to turn mine. By the way, sister, I ought to point out that those nuts you're eating so industriously are the richest food you could find. And your figure...
It doesn't matter. Unlike you, I'm not hanging on to anything. Not even to a husband. Well, good night, Gamaliel. I shall leave you to the pleasure of waiting up for Annabelle. Youth doesn't need sleep as we do, eh, Gamaliel?
Annabelle, is that you? Annabelle.
Yes?
Was it a nice party?
Oh, it was lovely. I wish you wouldn't sit up. Really, there's no need.
Yeah, perhaps I should be able to go with you the next time.
The next time?
What's the matter, Annabelle? Are you tired? You sound troubled.
It's nothing.
Oh, now, you must trust me, my girl. I want nothing more than to make you happy.
No, no, leave me alone, please. It's nothing. Nothing.
Ah, Judge Honeywell, we don't see enough of you down here. Annabelle runs in most every day, but seeing you is a pleasure.
Thank you, ma'am. And the pleasure's not entirely on your side. But I've come to you with a troubled mind.
Well, Judge, whatever...
Has Annabelle seemed to you, well, different of late?
Different?
I've been considering her happiness. Have you observed any change? Mrs. Upchurch...
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just thinking. The dear child always had a nervous temperament.
She's been this way before.
Oh, often. You mustn't mind, Judge. She tells me that she's had trouble sleeping, though, and Dr. Buchanan advised me that perhaps adjoining rooms?
Yes, we've arranged that. But I wondered if perhaps you might find out what's troubling her. She seems so reticent of late.
Oh, I shouldn't worry a moment if I were you. Never forget that Annabelle is devoted to you.
Oh, I trust her absolutely. No man could ask for a better wife. But if it's a question of patience...
That's all. Only have patience with her, and everything will be all right.
Yeah, it was nothing. I do believe I've been jealous. Odd. You always remember things in the twilight. Sometimes I think I'd like it to be twilight forever. Father used to call it Sabbath without evening. Ah, well, might as well go in. I'm sure Annabelle will be happy this evening. I imagine she's waiting for me in the drawing room. I'll just go in quietly.
Yeah. Ebony, hold me tighter, please.
Annabelle, my darling.
Your arms aren't dead trees, are they? I can't live without you, Ebony.
Annabelle. Oh, Annabelle, you're so young, so sweet.
Tighter, Ebony, tighter. Don't ever let me go. Ever.
Mrs. Upchurch, I've just had a painful scene with Annabelle.
Oh, do sit down, Judge Honeywell. You look tired, very tired.
I am. Thank you. I told you most of it over the telephone, but Annabelle insisted that I come to you directly.
But it can't be worse than you say.
She's more determined than ever. Determined to wreck her life. Determined not to give up this young man.
And it isn't even the same young man. It's Dabney Birdsong. Why, I remember meeting his mother in the market square with a little Dabney tagging along with big blonde curls.
How long has she known this young man?
Oh, all her life. I believe he's been in New York or working in an office something.
Oh, I don't know what's to be done, ma'am.
But you came straight to me.
At Annabelle's request.
Judge, you are the soul of chivalry. No man could have possibly done more. I can't feel hopeless, though. Annabelle is so young.
Yes, she is young. She insists upon talking about it.
Well, some women enjoy unhappy love affairs, you know. Although I've always felt that they were overrated.
But you will come and reason with her?
I wonder if I ought to give that boy a good scolding. Do you suppose it would help?
Oh, I've talked enough. I'm afraid I lost my judgment for a few moments.
Well, I'll come over, Judge. Try to remember that the more violent a passion is, the sooner it blows over. Annabelle, dear, I realize you enjoy tragedy in any position, and especially lying down. But would you mind coming out of those pillars so I can talk to you?
I don't want to.
Isn't it time you came to your senses?
I've never been out of them, Mama.
Have you forgotten that you're married?
I wish I could.
When are you going to get out of bed?
Tomorrow.
Has that boy gone away?
He isn't a boy. He's 26. And he's going to Europe next week.
Then I suppose you won't see him again.
He's coming in the morning to tell me goodbye.
Oh, that's very unwise, my child.
I can't help it.
Oh, this will pass away.
But I don't want it to pass away. Oh, Mama, can't you understand? If I can't have love, I'd rather die.
Well, I can't see anything to do about it, child. You'll have to make an effort to be brave and think of your husband.
Oh, he's had his life, and I want mine.
You married him with your eyes wide open.
But I didn't know that marriage could be so immoral. I mean, with a person you don't like, when you can't bear to have him near you.
Hush, Annabelle. You mustn't say such things.
I know. You would have lied about it, you and Cousin Amanda, but I won't. I won't be a sham all my life. I won't stay, that's all. If I can't have love, I'll die.
Oh, Judge was right. You can't hold people in when you take away the sense of duty. Well, child, I'll go downstairs and tell the judge to be patient. Perhaps by morning you'll have come to your senses.
Shopping so early, Bella?
Mrs. Bredebean, I mean to drop in on Annabelle, so I started early.
I'm sorry to hear that Annabelle was under the weather. You know, what she needs is to get away from Gamaliel for a while.
Oh, I'm sure they're very happy. He adores her. And she has a deep affection for him.
Now, I think she should go to Europe with me this summer.
But, Mrs. Bredebean, but...
Oh, come, Bella, don't be upset by the stories you've heard about me. Behavior is merely a question of geography. Well, my respectability increases with every mile I travel away from Queensborough. In Paris, it's above reproach. By the time I've reached Vienna, I've become a bit of a prude. And contrasted to the Balkan temperament, I'm a tombstone to female virtue.
I'm sure the judge would never consent.
Oh, I dare say you're right. Though I can never forgive him for not marrying Amanda.
I wonder if she believed that love lasted like that.
With Amanda, it was a purpose in life. You'll never hear it from her, though. She comes from a sealed generation. When you can sit back, Bella, it's somewhat amusing.
Amusing?
Surely. The whole performance, the whole company, the whole troupe of romantic comedians. Gamaliel, Annabelle, you and I. And that young Dabney Birdsong.
Yes,
oh, yes, I know about that. It's all a giant mask. A low, vulgar comedy. I think perhaps Amanda is the most unfortunate of all. She's still innocent enough to be betrayed. Well, I shan't keep you. Hurry on to your Annabelle. After all, she's the star of our comedy.
Is that you, Mrs. Upchurch?
I just dropped in to see Annabelle, but...
Well, what's the matter?
There's a letter addressed to you on the table. It's in Annabelle's hand.
From Annabelle? But what does it say?
It was addressed to you. I have not opened it.
Oh, dear. I'm sure something dreadful. Oh, George.
Ma'am?
Dearest Mama, I'm going away because there isn't any sense letting one mistake ruin your life. Dabney and I are made for each other. If you feel you could send some of my clothes to New York, the hotel... Oh, Annabelle, Annabelle.
The hotel is there. I'll go tonight. There's still time to catch the 8 o'clock train.
Oh, my baby.
I cannot acquit myself of responsibility.
Oh, you'll bring her back, my baby, my little baby.
There now, ma'am.
Oh, my baby.
I'll do my best. I'll bring her back tomorrow. You'll excuse me now. I must hurry. I'd have known I'd come for you.
Well, come in. Dabney's gone around to arrange for the passage. But there isn't any use. There isn't any use in the world.
I haven't come to argue or to blame you.
There's no use anyway. I won't go back.
Well, it's not fair to me or to your mother.
She'll get over it presently. She always gets over things.
You could only realize what it means to a woman to defy convention.
But that doesn't matter. Love is worth anything.
Do you love this boy?
Oh. Well, he isn't a boy. He's 26. And besides, he's taller than you are.
Well, if you'll just come home with me, I'll promise anything. Anything.
There isn't anything that could make up for it. Oh, you don't understand. It isn't only that you're old.
I didn't come to argue with you, Annabelle. I came to ask you to wait a little longer. To wait just a little while longer.
I want my life while I'm young. Life won't wait.
I shall, of course, give you your freedom.
But I am free.
Oh, you have a great deal to learn, child. But at least... At least I can keep you from poverty. I can do that.
You're kind. You've always been kinder to me than I deserve.
I shall still be kind. I may be wrong, but I shall still be kind.
You all right?
Oh, Abby, I don't quite remember where...
Get in, Granddad. You drown out there.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. I am a bit tired.
You look beat. Well, where to?
Oh, if I could get home. A chair. Fire.
Sure, Pop, sure. Home. Now, where is it?
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking. The railroad station. Pennsylvania station. I wasn't thinking.
What's that? I'm sorry. I can't quite...
Here.
I can get home.
Here, Porter. Help me take him to the car. It's an attack.
Oh, I'm sorry to be such a burden. At
no.
I can't.
Come on, you.
I just can't.
Just be still. Now you be still. We'll have Dr. Buchanan over right away.
I've done the best I can. I've always done the best.
Surely, Gamaliel. Not just a little while longer and we'll have you safe in bed. Catch him there, Porter. He's falling.
I've given him a sedative, Mrs. Brattlebane. It's overexertion. You know, at his age...
It's my age, too. Mm. Although he looks a lot older now.
Well, it's a chill, mostly. We'll have to keep him in bed for a few days. I'm having Lottie Goodwin come over. She's a fine young girl and an excellent nurse. Gamaliel will be up and around before we know it.
It's peaceful. It's all over. It's like when I was little. When I had my mama. She was so young. She was always so young. They were all like mama. Little. Cordelia and Amanda. And Annabelle. But there's nothing left. All over. Life. Love. It's all over. I can't see so well. It's dark. Is that you, Mama?
I'm Lottie Goodwin, Judge Honeywell. Dr. Buchanan sent me over to make you comfortable. Here, I'll fix your pillows for you. Isn't that better?
She's so young, gentle. There's the woman I ought to have married. No, that's gone. It's all over. But it's never really over. Not till you're in the grave. Why, there's some men who began their best work, who found the supremest happiness, only when the prime of life was well past. Why, it's spring outside. Spring. Those are leaves whispering outside the window. It's spring. And I'm feeling almost as young as I did last year.
I've been listening to The Romantic Comedians, an NBC theater production of the novel by Ellen Glasgow. The Romantic Comedians was adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Stephen Chase was Judge Honeywell. Lynn Allen was Annabelle. Georgia Backus, Edmonia. Gloria Ann Simpson, Amanda. Noreen Gamill, Mrs. Upchurch. Rolf Sedan, the Doctor. William Lally, Dabney Birdsong. Narrator was Gain Whitman. Your announcer, Don Stanley. Our intermission commentator was Henry Outland, whose commentary was recorded. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love.